Thank you, Miss Rachel. Appreciate each one coming to the service, and a hearty welcome to everybody, saint, sinner, visitor, and member alike. How are you doing this morning? All right. Some of you are awake, and some of you are still wiping the cobwebs from your eyes, but maybe a little music will turn you around here. So join me in the gray book to sing number 48 as we get started. Everybody join in. Visitors, thank you for coming and hope you get something from the service. Number 48. All right. Thank you for that one. Slow down just a little. Go back a few pages to number 41. Song that I love. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
It is so Thank you, Brother Sam. Thank you, Sister Rachel. Good morning, everybody. If you're noticing, you're seeing cars coming in. My understanding, the interstate is down, and it has got everything messed up. Sister Penny finally made it. She texted to let some know that she was stuck in traffic, and I'm seeing cars come in. So hopefully here in just a little bit, we'll have a pretty good crowd, a crowd of more people coming in, is the way I'll say it. But it's good to see each and every one of you here this morning, and I hope and pray that you've had a good week. It's been a good, blessed week of work and such. We were blessed with a good rain. I don't know how much y'all got, but we got a pretty good rain at home, and I'm thankful that the Lord rains down rain upon the just and the unjust. Now, you can figure out which one I'm on. So the thing I think about is God is good no matter what, is what he does. So I'm thankful today that God saw fit to give us that kind of a blessing today. It's good to see everybody out today, and I hope everyone has had a good week, as I said before. I haven't heard of anybody getting saved this week at revivals, but it's been a good week of revival for, for a lot of people. So let's pray that there'll be more saved. There'll be other revivals starting up this week, and we need to keep them on our hearts today. I do want to say we're glad to see our visitors with us today. We're always glad to see you to come in, some for the very first time again this week, and one for the second time, and we're glad you're here with us today, and we just hope and pray that God will bless today's service, that we can just be blessed of the Lord today is what I hope we can do. We want to go ahead and get started, and we'll have our children's church, so kids, we're coming right over here today. Come on, kids. Come on, kids. Come on, Luke. Luke's my buddy. I guess I should have moved over a little bit today, shouldn't I? Hi, everybody. How are y'all? Good. Y'all getting a suntan. Y'all staying in the water, right? Outside? That's good. All right. My lesson today is going to be about courage. Who knows what courage is? Being brave. It's a very good way of putting it, is being brave. It's a subject that basically when that you would normally do something opposite, you would run away. No, this is what I thought about. If I saw one of you, or let's say I was standing out there and there was a big old snake right here. Yeah. That snake was right there at me, and you saw me right there, and he was fixing to jump on me. And you come over, and you push me out of the way. That would be you having courage and being really brave, wouldn't it? Because you took care of me. You saved me is what you did. But you see, the courage I want to talk to you about is, y'all remember who David was? He was the guy that killed the Goliath. Right? Killed the giant. Remember him doing that? You know, before that he did that, you know what he did? He watched his father's sheep. And the Bible said that he took those sheep and he loved them and took care of them is what he did. And there was a day when a lion came. Y'all know what a lion is? Y'all seen a lion at the zoo? Yeah? You seen a lion? There was a lion that came. And that lion got in there, and he caught one of those lambs. And he was fixing to eat him up. But you know, David, he had a lot of courage about him. And he fought that big lion. And the Bible says that he smote him. He hit him. And he made him turn that lamb loose. You know what he did? He saved the lamb. You see, we've got a Lord that did the same thing for us. He fought sin for us that we might be saved, that we might be alive. And that's what he did. You see, I think Jesus was very courageous, like David was. But, you know, the other side of this courageous, having courage, is like us having courage. Now, Brother Stewart taught in our lesson today about a lot of different points, bless you, but the one point that I really got out of it was having confidence, and confidence in the Lord, and confidence in ourselves. Sometimes it takes courage to stand up for what's right. Do y'all agree with that? It takes courage. Well, I'll say it this way. For Ben to play ball like he does, he's got to have confidence in what he's going, when he shoots, that it's going to go in. But that's also a type of courage, that he'll go up there and he'll shoot. You have courage like that also. But in church, it takes courage sometimes just to stand up and do what's right, to talk for the Lord. When the Lord knocks on your heart and you're saved, and he tells you, you need to talk for me, you need to tell people that you're saved, have courage in confidence and confidence in the Lord that he's going to help you do that. Have confidence in him. And you have courage that God's going to help you, is what I want you to do. Be like David. Slay that old lion. See, that lion is fear. And if you're afraid to stand up for the Lord, then the lion wins. You want to have courage and stand up for the Lord. Okay? I'll let you go. There you go, Luke. Thank y'all for coming up. Okay. Good morning again, everybody. How is everyone doing? Hope everyone's had a good week. We want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Does anybody have a prayer request this morning? I'm still seeing people coming in off the interstate, I'm sure. But we'll just go on and we'll be able to enjoy the service, and hopefully they'll come in and be able to be blessed in the service also, is what we'll do. We want to be prayerful for one for another. As I said, there's a lot of revivals that are going on right now. We need to remember that our revival is just about a month away right now. And we'll start our revival. Let's pray for Brother Ben, that the Lord will help him to preach like the Lord wants him to preach. Now remember, we have day services at 11 o'clock, and then we have, 10:30, excuse me, 10:30. I'm going back to the way I grew up. At 10, we have day services at 10:30, and then we have night services at 7 o'clock. So if you can't come to the nighttime service, you can come to the daytime service. But we need everybody to do what God would have us to do during that time. And let's continue to remember those that are unsaved. We have VBS starting in 2 weeks, I guess it is now. We need to keep that in our prayers. We'll have kids here that basically do not come to church at all, if hardly ever. So let's do remember that as it's coming up, our Vacation Bible School. And as Miss Ruth says, if you haven't registered your children, please do. Your grandchildren, bring them to it, is what we want you to do. So let's keep those things. Brother Jerry asked me to mention his, I think it was his brother, that has, they found him with colon cancer this week, and let's do. Remember him, and he will be having surgery for that coming up this week. So let's do remember that also. Any other prayer request? Lord help. Lord help. Yeah. Lord help. And his sister Priscilla's aunt?
That's her aunt.
Yeah, okay. Let's do remember sister Priscilla's aunt. Her family members have cancer. let's be prayerful for them. Somebody else. Yes, ma'am. Let's do remember Sister Barbara in our prayers with her heart problems. Let's pray that the Lord will help her to be as well as she can. We were talking earlier. She says, I'm ready to go. But the thing about it is we all want to be here as long as we can. It's what we want to do. So let's be prayerful for Sister Barbara. Somebody else have a prayer request on your heart? I hope you'll pray for me today. Pray that the message will be what the Lord wants it to be today. And if it's not for me to preach, last Sunday I never did say very much. Y'all did the preaching, and that was good. I enjoyed that. But let's be about the Lord's business today. And let's pray that the Lord will help us in this service to be what we need to be for this service. Anybody else? Let's all go to the Lord in prayer. Good to have my good friend, Brother Mike, with us today. Brother Mike, will you lead us in prayer?
Thank you. Please remain standing while we do a tribute to our country. It's put in the book here, and we're coming up on our 250th birthday, and we owe it all to God our King. One sing about America. Thank you. All right, let's turn back a few pages and to the song that we had a jump start on this morning already, number 49. Number 49.
Oh,
I can tell y'all have been practicing. Y'all sing really well. Let's put it to the test here to try to number sing 58. Another song we love. What a meeting in the air.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Thanks, Sister Rachel. Appreciate the good songs. Always do enjoy that song. Look forward to that day. Don't you?
Amen.
I look forward to the day when we can meet together in heaven. Anybody got a word of testimony or anything on your heart this morning? I'll say this. If you want to turn to the 24th chapter of Genesis, that's where we're going to start from today. It's going to be the basis of our message today, in a sense. This one's going to be a little different. Last Sunday, of course, y'all testified, and we just had a good time in the Lord last week, and I enjoyed that immensely. And I thought, well, I guess I'll preach that sermon for my television program. But then I got a no from the Lord. No, you're not. So I thought, well, Lord, what am I going to preach for the television program? We went to church that night, and as the preacher was preaching, I got a thought, and I thought, well, that'll be my sermon for the radio, for the television program. And the Lord said, no, that's next Sunday. Okay, Lord. I guess he gave me a good warning. And so the next day I had to get up and study for that sermon for the TV program. And I'll invite anyone to look on Facebook for the Country Preacher Man. And as I always say, other day I was being talked to by a young man at an eye doctor, and he said, where are you from? He says, I know you're from Tennessee, but your accent's a little different. Okay, he was down here. And I said, well, up in Smith County. He said, well, I knew your accent was different. I said, well, I'm the country preacher man, and it fits me pretty good, I think. So I've been meditating on this subject. I've used this one other time, and it's been probably 7-8 years ago in a message. And this message will be a little bit different today. And so be prayerful that the Lord's message will come out like he wants it to be. This chapter is right after that Abraham's wife, Sarah, had died. You that have lost spouses, you know how that hurts. For you that have lost mothers or fathers, one, you also know that hurts also. And it takes a time of grieving. And apparently Isaac was grieving greatly at the death of his mother. And Abraham saw that Isaac needed a wife, is what he saw. And as he saw that, he called his eldest servant unto him, and he said, now, I'm going to tell this chapter story for him. I may give you a few verses to look at, but I invite you to go back and read this chapter. And what he tells him, he says, swear not to take unto my son a wife out of this land, the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan was a sinful people. Abraham was sojourning, as it calls. He was going from place to place in here. He really didn't have just a particular place that he called a home. He was a nomad, if you wanted to call it that. But he saw the sins of the Canaanite people. And he said, do not have my son marry one of these. I guess Abraham was also grieved enough that he thought that he was probably fixing to die also. After all, he was 139-year-old now, was what he was. And so he thought it was about time that he would die. But he said, now, servant, I want you to go back to the land of my fathers, back into Mesopotamia. And he said, you go to my family there. And he said, you get my son a wife there. We wouldn't do that today. If Brother John looked at Joshua and he said, I'm going to arrange you a marriage, Joshua would probably tell him he's nuts. That would go for any of our young ladies here. That if their parents said, we're going to arrange a marriage for you, they'd say, no, I'm picking out who I want. I tell you what, you get in trouble doing that sometimes. I was blessed to be blessed with a good wife, and I'm thankful for that. But the thing about what had happened, Abraham made that servant swear that he wouldn't do that. And basically, he said, you'll go get a wife of my kindred, is what he says there in that fourth verse. And in those following verses, he said, the servant says, Lord, what if she won't come? He said, well, you'll be released of that, but still do not take a wife of these Canaanite people. The Canaanite people were sinful people. They didn't know God. They had multiple gods is what they had. They didn't know the true God, And thus, he did not want him, want Isaac to be, what you might say, troubled with the sin of the multiple gods. So what we find that goes on, that servant, he gets a group of camels that Abraham has, and he takes some other men with him, and they load them down with the treasures of Abraham, and they set out for Mesopotamia. Now, best I can tell, that was probably, depending on where they were at that time and where you say they were at, that was probably a trip of about 500 miles, maybe even 1,000 miles is what I'll say. But they took that long journey over into the land of Abraham's father. And Abraham had told the servant, you go and you look for the sons or the daughters of Nahor, is what he said. And he said, you're going to go and you're going to search out there and find a woman. This servant, what he does, he takes that long group and he gets to the outside of the area there. And it's a watering hole, if you want to call it. He called it a well. And what the Bible says, that once he reached that place, he bowed and prayed. You ever bow and pray over something? When the Lord sent you to do something, do you ever bow and pray over, Lord, give me, Lord, just give me God's speed on this? He said, Lord, make my journey prosperous. He said, the young ladies will be coming out here in a little bit to get water in the afternoon. He said, let that first one that come out, he said, let her be the one, first of all. But he said, when she comes out, he said, when she fills up her water pot, let me say unto her, Lord, just give me the drink. And she'll graciously let her pot down. She'll say, drink, sir. And she'll turn. And she said, let me draw the water for the camels. Let me let them drink till they're full, is what she said. And when they did that, it just as soon as he got done with the prayer, here come a young woman. Verse 16 says, and the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. Bible says that the old servant went down to her and he said, give me to drink. And just as he had prayed to the Lord, she let down the water pot and she said, give her drink. And then she went back to the well and she drawed the water out for the camels and for the other men that were with them. And she filled them to the full. Now, this is one of the good parts right here. In verse 23, the old prophet said, after he'd rewarded her for her labor, he said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, and is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. Oh, just what Abraham had prayed about. Said, you go find the daughters of Nahor for my son Isaac. And he done saw a very beautiful young lady coming out. He saw a lady that was willing to work and to do as he had asked her to do, and even more so than what she wanted, what he desired of her. But it showed how that God lined everything up that he might find his son a bride in that day. Now, if you go over into the 37th verse, how he has come to the temp, come to their tent, and before they sat down to eat, the old servant said, sir, I need to tell you what my business is, basically. He said,
I am the servant of thy brother Abraham. And God has blessed him greatly. He's mighty. I'm paraphrasing all of this. But he said he is one that God has blessed greatly. He's given him a son in his old age. And he needs a wife. And he sent me here to find a wife. And he said, I got to the watering hole and I prayed to the Lord that he'd send a woman out and that I'd ask water and she'd give me to drink. But not only me drink, but the camels and the other men too. He said, I know this is the one. He said, will you send her back with me? And she said, they said, yeah, we'll let her go. We'll let her go to Abraham and his son to be a wife, is what he's saying. Now, in the next day, when they got up early in the morning, I'm satisfied what we would call they were getting up for breakfast time. What the scripture said was that they said, he said, now, don't hinder us. Let us go back now. Well, you know, the mother and family, basically like any of them would say, well, why don't you just take your time? Give her at least 10 days that we can prepare her for leaving with us. The old servant said, no, don't hinder us. They said, we'll ask the girl, see what she wants to do. In verse 58, and they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Now, you might be wondering where in the world this message is going today. And I truthfully feel very inadequate to try to preach a message about the church and its doctrines. But we're going to talk a little bit about church today. I want you to realize that God chose a church. Not just any old church, not anything that had the name church on it, but he chose himself a church. Not just one that basically everybody wants to call a church, and I'm talking about where they might have this name or that name on, but he wanted it to be a special lady is what she was. Did you ever realize that whenever they talk about the church, they put her in the feminine pronouns, I guess you'd say? They put her in a feminine way because she is as a bride of Christ is what she is. When you look at this today, I want you to consider this story first of all, but I want you to understand that God has chosen a church to be in this world. It has a responsibility in that it is to go out and to make disciples first of all, and then they are to teach all nations is what it says about their doctrine. They are to baptize all those that believe in the Son of the living God. That's what the scriptures tells us that church is supposed to do. Now, there's other ideas out there, but let's look and see just exactly what the Bible has to say about this church. We're going to go back into the Old Testament first of all. Hey, this is the same stuff that Jesus taught out of when that he was teaching and preaching here upon this earth in those 3.5 years that he was in his ministry. He used the Old Testament. He didn't use what they call now as the New Testament. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking the New Testament. It gives us the knowledge of what his doctrine is and such as that. But Jesus taught out of the Old Testament is what he did. He proved what God had set up for him to do. Now, in chapter 16 of the book of Ezekiel, you're going to see, if you'll read this chapter, and I'll encourage you to go back into Genesis and read that one, but read this chapter also, but read it with an open mind in that you read it and understand it in such a way that it's figurative, in that it's representing things that you have experienced, but you may not have recognized it before. Now, what he says in these first several verses is talking about God calling an individual where that they might be saved. But when you get down to about the ninth verse, it starts a difference. Once that an individual has been saved by the grace of God, then they can come to the church. You see, where that old servant found the woman was down by the watering hole. Down by the watering hole is where he found her in that place. Now in verse 9, he said, "Then washed I thee with water." Now, water baptism will not save an individual. I want you to understand that today. Water baptism will not save an individual. But it does start a process of a saved individual working for the Lord. And when a person has been saved, they're cleansed on the inside. But when that individual is baptized into the body of the church, they are saying, "I'm cleansing myself of the things of the world." As we say so many times, it doesn't mean that we're perfect from then on. But we are striving to be what we are supposed to be. Now, church members, I will say this. If you do not have a copy of the church covenant, and every one of you should, go out there in the vestibule and look at that big sign out there on the front. It's got the duties of a church. It's got the duties of each member and what that they are supposed to be doing as far as church membership is concerned. You entered in to that covenant and saying, "I will follow these rules." Do we do that, though? Do we do that? You see, in the subject of baptism, we entered into that covenant. In that covenant, we said we would do these things. But what he says here in this ninth verse, "Then washed I thee with water, yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil." Now, when he said, "I washed away thy blood," that's the outward sin is what he was talking about. He washed it away at that time. But then he said, "I anointed thee with oil." Everywhere in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, when you're talking about the oil, it's talking about the anointing of the Spirit of God. Every child of God has a portion of a Spirit of God inside of them. But when the church of the living God baptizes an individual and they start to work in the church, they are granted more spirit. More spirit, not the spirit of confidence as far as salvation is concerned, but they are granted a spirit of leadership that is far more than what you had before that you got, after you got saved. You see, when that I joined the Lord's church, then the Lord started working with me. And you would probably have the same kind of experience in your life. You see, the Spirit starts working with the church to do the things that God needs them to do. Now, what he said here, that you're not only washed in the baptism, and you're not only anointed with the Spirit, but when that the church itself starts to be growing in the Spirit of God, what it does, he says, "I'll clothe thee with broader cloth and shod you with badger skin." That was the best shoes you could have. "And I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain upon thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thy ears and a beautiful crown upon thy head." You see, God anointed his church as being royalty, is what he did. Do you realize today that you are the royalty of this world, being members of the Lord's church? You are have far more royalty about you than King Charles over there in England and any other king that is in this world. You're far more royal than any of them. You're decked out better than all of those combined. I understood other day that King Charles had filed his taxes and showed what he paid, and I think it was something like $400 or $500 million of pounds that he had paid out in taxes, saying that he was rich. And I think they said he was the third highest paid had as far as wealth in his life. But you are richer than all of them combined. You know why? First of all, you're saved. Second of all, you come into the Lord's church and you have the blessing of following God. You see, what he said, I have made you royal in this way. And he says, thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was as fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and all. You know, we as spiritual beings today, what do we eat? Well, they always talk about us Baptists as fried chicken, and I do enjoy my fried chicken. But where I get my nourishment is out of the Word of God, is where it comes from. And if you get into that Word of God as a child of God and as a church member, you'll start to understand the things of God. You might say, well, I don't understand it. You keep digging in there, and a little by little, it'll grow in you, and it'll become a hearty meal that will sustain you for weeks and months and years and even an eternity inside of you is what it'll do, because it'll help you to grow in the Lord. He said, and thou wast exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. Now, notice he makes one statement there. He said, thou wast exceedingly beautiful. What did the old servant say about Rebecca when he saw her? She was extremely fair. It meant she was beautiful. Do you realize today that in the eyes of the Lord, that his church is beautiful? Oh, even an old ugly preacher like me, he looks at me in that church and he sees me as beautiful. Not on the outward part, but on the inward part. He looks upon you as part of the church. He looks at you as being the most beautiful creature that there is what he does. Now let's back up to the book of Isaiah for just a minute. Now, what I'm going to bring out here is a lot of people says, well, Ezekiel was talking to the Israelites and to the Jewish people, to Judah themselves. Well, yeah, he was at that time. But the other meaning about that was he was talking about his church. Now, so how do we as, I'm going to say it this way, Gentiles, how do we get in to this being a favor in the bride? I want you to understand, there's a lot of people out there that'll tell you today that the Jewish people are still the bride of Christ. I'm going to differ with them. I'm going to give you Bible on it right here. Go into Isaiah, the 62nd chapter is where I'm going. In verse 2, he says, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all the king's glory. Who's king? Who's the king? Jesus. Who was them Gentiles? That was those people that Peter, James, and John, when they got run out of Jerusalem and they started preaching out in the other areas, when Paul went into Asia, as it says, and he preached to them all about this church and about Jesus and all about these things, they saw the righteousness of the king. Me personally, I don't think I have any real righteousness of myself. But you know what? I hope I get over to each and every one of you. Jesus is righteous. And I hope you see that beauty. And what the scripture tells us, and thou shalt be called by a new name. I tell you what, today, those Gentiles, well, let's just back up here. He says, thou shalt be also be, thou, third verse, thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. And the royal diadem in the hand of God. That was the scepter that he was talking about. And thou shalt no more be called forsaken. Neither shalt thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah. All right, what's Hephzibah? What Hephzibah means, it is my delight. I'm going to tell you something. For about 49 years to now, that's been my delight. You know what that means? She's precious to me. She's wonderful to me. But God looks, and Jesus looks down upon his church, and they are his delight. What does it mean to be a delight? Be favored. It means that she's wonderful in his sight. She's glorious in his sight. And it's something so wonderful in his sight. And what it says, the next, in thy land, Beulah. Oh, Beulah. We sing Beulah Land. How many of you know what Beulah means? Most of everybody wants to say that Beulah Land is talking about heaven. But if you go back and look at the Hebrew word, Beulah means married. Married. You see, in those days, a woman that did not get married, well, she was somewhat forsaken. The Gentiles were forsaken people. We are Gentile people. We're not of the Jewish blood. We are of the other brothers, Japheth's blood. And probably what we can say today is there was a time that we, as being Gentiles, we were forsaken. But we saw the beauty of the church and of Jesus. We saw that beauty and we came to be called by a new name is what he called us. We are no longer forsaken. We are called married by him. What the scripture tells us in the fifth verse, he said, for as a young man marrieth a wife, so shall thy son marry thee. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. God is rejoicing over us today. This ought to tickle us so much. And what I mean is being in so much joy. All right, if the Gentiles have come in, is it just Gentiles that are in the church, not the Jewish people? No, it's something different here now. I told you a while ago, they got to be baptized first. They've got to come into the church. They got to come into the body of Christ. Now, in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, I believe it is, where it says you're baptized into one body is what it tells you. That being baptized into one body puts you into that body, and you'll find it in Ephesians, also in Colossians. I believe it's also in Philippians. Brother Mike can correct me after a while. But the fact of the matter, it tells you the body of Christ is the church. We're different. Go to the fifth chapter of Ephesians and I'll start to wind this thing up. Fifth chapter of Ephesians. I'm going to read you two verses and then we're going to jump. Verse 26. Let's back up verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now 26, this gets more clarification. That he might sanctify, that means separate it. We're not of this world, but we're in it. But he wants us to be different from everybody else. You know, he wants this church here to be different from any church here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Smyrna, Rutherford County, whatever. He wants you to be different. Why? Do you not want your wife to be different, gentlemen? You want her to be true to you, don't you? You want her to be special in your eyes. You want her to be what you love more than anything else, don't you? He said that you may sanctify, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. This is after baptism now. This water is by the word. It's like taking a good bath after you had a long, hard day of work. You get in there and your body is sore and you turn that hot water on and it just soothes your body. That's what the Word of God does. It refreshes you. He says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Paul said in the Corinthian letter, he said, I want to present you as a chaste virgin. You know what that chaste means? It not only means pure, but he wanted to present them without sin. Without sin. All right. That lets us all out, don't it? But God will cleanse us, won't he? But he expects us to be as good as we possibly can. He said, without spot or wrinkle, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Truthfully, I can truthfully say, I don't believe there's a church on this earth that is without sin. Murfreesboro's not without, they're not without sin. You know why? I'm in it. If I go join somewhere else, they're not going to be a perfect church. I got sin. I've seen some people thought they were without sin, but actually, we're all sinners in the sight of God, but he'll cleanse us of our worldly sins is what he'll do. Now drop down to 30 through 32 for our we'll close at this. For we are members of his body. What did I tell you a while ago? We're baptized into one body. We are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. You've heard that quoted just about at every wedding, I'm sure. And they'll talk about how this man is going to leave his mother and father and take up his wife, and they're going to be one flesh. Hey, take a look at that next verse. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning the church, Christ and the church. Yeah, it's proper for a man, for a woman and a man to leave their parents and give all to each other. That's proper. That's what God intended for it to be. But that was a picture of Christ and his church. They were special in his eyes. Very special in their eyes. The love that Jesus had for, or changes that, has for his church. It's similar to the love you have for your spouse. You know why I said similar? We can't compare to it, can we? We can't compare unto how much he loves us. But it's a special love that he brought forth when he put his church into this world. to be chaste, to be pure as possible, to be wonderful, beautiful in His eyes. That old servant, he was sent for a purpose. Go get my son a wife. You know what the commission was? He said, go make disciples, baptizing them in my name. You know, that's what Eleazar did. He went to find a wife. That's what we do. We go to find a wife for our Lord. You'll find it in the book of Revelation where it says that the Lord, the angel, showed John the Lamb's wife, the bride. And it was as a great city. If you run the size of that city that came down out of heaven. Notice I said came down out of heaven. Oh, it's terribly big. Oh, it's a wonderful place and it's beautiful. Adorned with every jewel known to man. Known for all of its preciousness. Why you even walk on gold. We think that's something wonderful, don't we? But there is pavement. Brother Sam, that's going to be my message today. If you want to be a part of this bride, I'm not giving the invitation to come join church today. I'm not going to do that. I thought I would, but I don't feel like I ought to. But if you want to join the Lord's church, you need to do that. And be a part of that bride. You take up the responsibility of being a wife to the Lord. You know, there's a responsibility a husband has to his wife. There's a responsibility the wife has to her husband. So is it as far as a wife, a bride of Christ is to him. We have a responsibility. If you're willing to take up that today, you talk to me about this. You talk to me about it. You want to be a member of the Lord's church. While we stand and sing, let's be about God's business. If you're here today and you're lost, I know this message didn't go to you, but you seek the Lord. First thing you got to be is saved before that you can join the Lord's church. While we stand and sing.
207. 207.